Good morning and welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the fastest growing segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there is something troubling, even destructive, about religion and politics, media reporting, military invasions, and economic schemes. We realize that these institutions are part of the problem, not the solution. So instead of merely presenting the news, our mission will be to understand what is causing the tragedies that are besieging our planet, while predicting how these events will influence our world if we don't stop them. And that is why in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides hope, the only reliable response in an exceedingly troubled world. Words, wisely wielded, provide the answer for everything that ails us, from economic ruin to terrorism, from religious myths to political hypocrisy. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Yesterday, a caller asked a question, actually made a statement, then asked a question. It was, the question was, why or where did you find the information indicating that the Obama White House has modified the spying apparatus of the U.S. government through the NSA PRISM program, which is keystrokes on our computer, and wiretapping confiscation of our personal information by collecting all manner of data on our use of our cell phones? Where did you learn that he had specifically excluded mosques? The statement that the caller made, it was Nick calling in from Wisconsin, was, no, I only heard that reported here on that, on this program. Now, the fact is that what I shared with you was reported elsewhere, but not often, certainly not in a significant way. It was initially reported in Investors Daily. It was again reported by the Washington Times. The story was picked up by Fox and two syndicated radio programs, in addition to this one, reported the story. There were the confirmation for the reality that rather than targeting the source of terror, that the NSA program is targeting ordinary Americans, that ordinary Americans are the enemy, and that the actual source of 99% of terrorist attacks in America are excluded from the NSA's search, was provided by Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner. Jim Sensenbrenner. He is a Wisconsin congressman. He's in a position to know because he was the congressman who actually introduced the Patriot Act on the floor of the U.S. Congress. He has been interviewed three times, once on television, twice on radio programs. After the article by Investors Business Daily came out, demonstrating that mosques and Islamic organizations were specifically excluded from the NSA search. Now, before we consider Representative Jim Sensenbrenner's comments, I want to underscore how devastating this is for the credibility of the U.S. government, and why, upon having the combination of the information that was given to us as a gift by Edward Snowden, who is amongst the most heroic individuals in the world today, revealing that our government was spying on its citizens, violating the fourth article of the Bill of Rights, that once he did that and showed that America now viewed the enemy as anyone in America who would stand up and expose their government to do what we're doing today. And then you combine that with their excuse that we're using this to thwart terrorist attacks on Americans, to keep Americans safe. And, of course, they couldn't come up with a single credible example. The head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, used David Headley. And David Headley is an individual that we devoted four or five programs to show that rather than exonerate the NSA program, David Headley tells us that we should never trust anything our government does because our government itself has become a sponsor of terrorism. Now, with the combination of the reality that Americans are being spied on because our government is afraid of those who are willing to do what we are doing here, afraid of those who are listening to this program and responding to what you learn, it means that this is directly analogous to what this administration did by trying to hamper the Tea Party through focused IRS investigations, what the administration did when they confiscated the telephone records and got wiretaps of the Associated Press, because there were people learning how disingenuous this administration is. And it's directly analogous to the Benghazi lies, where the President of the United States wanted to disassociate fundamentalist Islam from the murder of four Americans in Benghazi and instead blame those murders on a Christian film. All of this is designed to thwart the ability of Americans to stand up and say, no, the president is lying. Congress is lying. Our military is lying. They're telling us the opposite of what is true. And for the most part, the media is parroting those same lies. Knowing that they're lying, politicians have done everything in their power to undermine those Americans who are trying to hold them accountable. So this is the story of a man that I don't have any respect for, but nonetheless, he is in a position to confirm the reality that Moss, which is the source of 99.9% of terrorist activity around the world, have been excluded in the government's vast and expensive, overreaching program to collect data on not only Americans, but on people around the world. The Wisconsin congressman, who widened the powers of law enforcers to allegedly fight terrorism — by the way, you cannot fight terrorism. You cannot have a war against terrorism. Terrorism can never be the enemy. When you have so changed the argument, when the debate is focused on a tactic as opposed to the cause, there is a 0% possibility of ever solving the problem. And so when you understand that virtually every politician, virtually everyone in the media speaks of the problem and frames the debate around terrorism, which is a tactic, as opposed to the cause, which is Islam, you have to conclude that they don't want the people to understand the cause of the problem because they have no interest in solving the problem. Because so long as the problem continues to exist, they're not only empowered, they can continue to destroy the freedoms and rights of good people around the world. And that is what they're doing. That was the purpose of the Patriot Act, to make security sound like something that was worth giving up freedoms for. Well, he was the fellow that in the Congress was most responsible for the presentation and authoring of the Patriot Act. It was a 2011 order that would be during the Obama administration, and because it is an order, it comes out of the Obama administration because Congress passes laws, they don't give orders. He says that a 2011 order prohibits the FBI from entering mosques. And he says it needs to be lifted. Quote, it certainly sets Islamic places of worship at a high level that is different from places of worship of any other religious denomination, whether it be Christian or Jewish or Hindu or whatever. And that shouldn't be the case, Sensenbrenner told the Steve Maltzberg show. Investor Daily, Investors Business Daily, reported that since October 2011, when the president issued this executive order, mosques have also been off limits not only to FBI agents, but to NSA surveillance and all undercover schemes. They have been banned unless they are approved by a special oversight body at the Department of Justice, which we learned last week is complicit in the NSA spying scandal. The Department of Justice is gaming the judicial system, collecting information from and using information from the NSA's collection of data of keystrokes and of cell phone use to set up Americans for criminal prosecution. Now, we're going to return to this story, and we're going to talk about what the congressman said to affirm that the source of 99% of terrorist acts are being excluded from the vast NSA searches of Americans, and what that means to you and to me. Welcome back to Shattering This. I am Yoda. You can participate in this discussion by calling toll-free 877-300-7645. The realization and now affirmation that the government's massive spying program through the NSA, where it is demanding access to information on every cell telephone conversation and every keystroke of your computer when it is online, has been justified by the U.S. government on both sides of the aisle as being necessary to protect Americans from terrorist attack. And yet there isn't a single terrorist attack that it has thwarted. And we now learn that the source of 99% of terrorist attacks, mosques, are specifically excluded from the search. Now, I don't say that 99% of terrorist attacks are Islamic out of hyperbole. I devoted an entire year of my life to systematically evaluating every terrorist attack that was recorded and reported anywhere in the world. I did so from around 1960 to the present, not quite to the present day. I ended the project in 2004. Now, what I found by itemizing every single terrorist attack that was reported from 1960 to 2004, and all of this research is available for you, free. Go to prophetofdoom.net, the Islamic terrorist timeline. And it's year by year, from 1960 all the way through 2004, every reported terrorist attack that occurred anywhere in the world and I lay out what to date the attack occurred, how many people were killed and injured, who perpetrated the attack, what the reason, declared reason was for the attack, and also provided a link to the organization, which I provided a historical portrait of, that perpetrated the attack. And what I learned is that during the rise of OPEC, where they became a monopoly, that Islamic terrorism was principally limited to Islamic countries prior to the rise of OPEC. But when OPEC provided funding in a part of the world where because of Islam, there is only economic deprivation, then the Islamic terrorists finally had the fuel to take their heinous acts and perpetrate them on the world at large as opposed to just upon fellow Muslims. Now, they still, in terrorist acts, kill more Muslims than they do non-Muslims, and today are exacerbating that problem throughout the Islamic world, particularly in Syria and Iraq, even Afghanistan, today also in Egypt. The reality is that over time, since the rise of OPEC and the realization that most of the OPEC nations are Islamic fiefdoms, are Islamic theocracies, that Islamic terrorism had a source of funding. And with that funding, in combination with, in concert with, the Muslim Brotherhood's provision of Islamic ideology, principally through the two books, Under the Shade of the Quran and Signposts Along the Way, both written by Qutb, that Islamic terrorist organizations, of which there are hundreds, if not thousands, began to blossom. The one that the West and the media seem so focused upon is just one of many hundreds of symptoms of fundamentalist Islam, Al-Qaeda. The Taliban is another that is just a symptom, as is Hezbollah, Allah's party. All of them, save Hezbollah, are Sunni, and therefore the mother of these organizations is the Muslim Brotherhood. Over time, what we see beginning in 1960 through 2004 is that Islamic terrorism versus socialist, secular, humanist terrorism, communist organizations, were about even in terms of the number of heinous acts that they perpetrated. The religion of man and the religion of Satan, Islam, were fairly even through the 1960s in terms of their atrocities. But that has all changed. Welcome back to Sharing This. I am Yetta. I want to make a very clear distinction, because we have a segment of our society that screams bloody murder, hatefully attacking those who are willing to be judgmental, those who are willing to be discerning and discriminating, those who are willing to examine the evidence and to draw conclusions based upon the evidence using reason. And they shout that it is hate speech when you state a conclusion that is intolerant of something that they embrace. Now, of course, what they are actually engaging is hate speech, but nonetheless, they do not see their own hypocrisy. I did not come to the position that Islam was responsible for 99% of terrorist acts perpetrated in the world today, based upon racism, based upon a emotional feeling or reaction, based upon ignorance. No. I devoted better part of 7 years to risking my own life to not only study the 5 source documents of the Islamic religion, not only be the first to take those 5 source documents and put them in chronological order and into the context of Muhammad's life, so that the Quran, which is a jumbled book without any context or chronology, can be understood. And then spoke out on nearly 3,000 talk radio programs, sharing with the American people what I had come to learn and know. I also devoted a year to chronicling every terrorist attack that was reported perpetrated anywhere in the world. And I came to prove, not by design, but by evidence, that 99% of terrorist attacks are now perpetrated by Muslims. There was a time back in the 1960s where it was as likely that a socialist, secular humanist, a communist, a socialist, a Marxist was going to commit a terrorist act as a Muslim. Today that is no longer the case. They don't have a total monopoly in the sense of 100%, but it is very close to 99%. Therefore, to exclude mosques from the investigation for the source of potential terrorist attacks is to say we're going to focus on the 1% and ignore the 99%. The second thing I said there would also be considered hateful, and in a ignorant world, it would also be considered racist. But Islam is not a race, it's a religion. You can't be a bigot, you can't be a racist when you expose religions and politics as opposed to race. Now, there will be those who will try to say, well, Islam is mostly Arab. That's not true. Majority of Muslims are not Arabs. That is just not true. And there are many Arabs who are not Muslims. So to make this a racial issue, the person making that argument is ignorant, not the person who is telling you the truth. Now, I did say something that many would consider pejorative if it wasn't for the fact that the facts affirm the statement. When the Quran is put in chronological order and in the context of Muhammad's life, by relying on the 4 earliest sources of information from Muslims about Muhammad and his creation of the Islamic religion, the hadith collections from Ishaq, Tabari, Muslim, and Bukhari, it's obvious, absolutely undeniable, that the adversary was the inspiration for Allah. Muhammad, like Paul after, or Paul before him, admits it, telling the world that he was demon-possessed. Allah spends all of his time in hell. Allah says that he is a terrorist. Allah says that he is a liar and cannot be trusted. Allah claims the authority of Yahweh, claims to have authored the Torah, claims that his Quran affirms and confirms the Torah when the opposite of those things is true. So you might think that the statement is hateful if you are unaware, if you have been deliberately misled by a politically correct institution, whether it be the media, your politicians, their political party, or by your university or high school, whatever it might have been, your cleric. That's the truth. It's undeniable. And I'm not trying to make a nickel out of this. I don't have a reason to tell you this other than it's true. Prophet of Doom is available free in its entirety in HTML and PDF and MP3, prophetofdoom.net. Called Prophet of Doom because Muhammad's most often repeated prophecy was that the day of doom would occur within 500 years of his death. He lied. But yet, Muhammad's mantra, his self-serving situational scriptures that satiated his own personal lust for sex, power, and money have doomed billions of people. Look at the conditions that Muslims live in. Look at the hell they perpetrate on themselves and others. These are truthful statements. When we have to deny the truth out of political correctness to have a discussion, then all we are doing is lying to one another. We can't solve the problems. We can't even understand the problems unless we're willing to talk openly and honestly about them. And truthfully, the single most compassionate and loving thing a person can do is to tell another person that that which they are relying upon, that which they believe will take them to heaven, when we know for certain that it is untrue, we are being compassionate when we tell them so. You are being merciless when you refuse to care sufficiently about another individual to not only allow them to continue to believe something that will lead to their doom, but that will motivate millions to kill others in the name of that doctrine, in the name of that religion. So what we learned from the congressman who authored and promoted the Patriot Act is that the President of the United States, by executive order, changed what was a very bad bill, making the Patriot Act the single most unpatriotic thing this nation could have done to its citizens. It would now spy on them, average Americans, but it would not spy on Muslims. 19 Muslims, fundamentalist Muslims, shouting Allahu Akbar, flew planes into our buildings as suicide bombers, giving Islam total credit for the act, confessing to the crime. And yet, we established laws in America to exclude Islam from a source of terrorism so that we could spy on ordinary Americans. And you have senators and congressmen on both sides of the aisle saying that the man who revealed the clandestine nature of the U.S. government and what it was doing, turning normal Americans into the enemy, and while ignoring the enemy, was good, was something that we ought to value, we ought to appreciate, while we ought to bring home and incarcerate the person who gave us this gift of information, Edward Snowden. Continuing with the article, the newspaper said that the ban was enacted under pressure from Islamic groups who lobbied the Obama administration about FBI stings, even though the agency launched many successful operations against homegrown jihadists in mosques and foiled numerous plots. Now, I have a problem with FBI stings. Even when FBI stings are conducted in or outside of mosques, I have a real problem when the government proposes as a jihadist to entrap jihadists, enticing them, encouraging them, lying to them. I don't think it is ever appropriate to fight lies with lies. I just don't. And yet that is how virtually every reported incarceration of an Islamic terrorist has occurred in the last decade. We have sting operations where the U.S. judiciary pretends to be what they are not and entraps a would-be assailant. Now, this is a quote. It's from the congressman. You shouldn't say that a certain denomination's place of worship is a sanctuary, Sensenberger said. Consequently, the FBI or law enforcement cannot try to find out what is going on in order to protect everybody, including members of that house of worship, who might not be part of this. Now, that sounded like congressional doublespeak to me. You know, that is the problem with our Constitution. Our Constitution is not a perfect document. Our Constitution did not come to us out of the heavens from God. It's a very good document in many ways, but it's not entirely good. The freedom to practice any religion is something that I would advocate up to a point. Now, by advocate, you ought not be involved with any religion. All religions are untrue. All religions are unreliable. All religions are human constructs. Yahweh, which is God's name, is opposed to religion. You will never find God through religion. Religions lead away from Him, not to Him. That said, Yahweh is a proponent of free will. So the choice to be religious must be maintained up to a point. And that is to the point where the practice of that religion is deadly. When the practice of a religion is deadly and destructive, as was Nazism, as is Islam, then that we ought not tolerate. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We are considering the testimony of Congressman Sensenbrenner. I have to tell you, while he is the chairman of the House Science and the House Judiciary Committees, it is obvious based upon his testimony that America is in a national mess because the people that we have empowered are nincompoops. This is his statement. Now, what he's attempting to do is to say that while he is wholly supportive of maybe the worst legislation ever perpetrated on the American people, which would be the Patriot Act, that while he's wholly supportive of his Patriot Act, and he's wholly supportive of NSA spying on Americans, which is in breach of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and his oath of office, and he wants Snowden arrested. His only issue is that the President of the United States has issued an executive order excluding Moss from being searched, being a source to investigate to stop potential terrorist acts. And he doesn't want to say, hey, you know, the reason I'm concerned about this is that I've done my homework, my staff has done the research, and we've determined that 99% of terrorist acts are perpetrated by Muslims, and therefore excluding the source of 99% of terrorist acts while spending billions of dollars to violate the privacy of everyone else except them is really stupid. No, he just blathers all over himself. Verbal diarrhea. This is his next line. I don't care what religion or what denomination is maintaining such a safe house. That should be wrong. Every religion does have a prohibition against murdering other people. Well, what is this idea of maintaining such a safe house? We're not talking about safety. Islam is a declaration of war against all mankind. It is a terrorism manifesto. Why are you talking about safe houses? Why are you talking about you don't care what the religion is or what denomination is? You began the conversation by your frustration that mosques have been excluded. Haven't you done, as the head of the Judiciary Committee, enough research to understand who Muhammad was, that he was a ruthless terrorist, that every Muslim that commits a terrorist act screams, Allahu Akbar, Allah is most great, confessing to the crime? And what are you saying that every religion has a prohibition against murdering? You studied Islam? It doesn't have a prohibition against murder. In fact, murder is Allah's cause. It's the only guaranteed way into the Islamic paradise, which is a brothel. It is astonishing that not only the elected officials, but the head of important committees in Washington are this ignorant. It's no wonder the country is in such a horrible mess. I'd like to turn to Glenn, who's called in from Philadelphia and has a comment on Muslims. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Yana. On the face of it, in terms of what you said this morning, I agree with ostensibly with the things you're saying about Islam, but I think it's also important to remember that the wicked, those who are, just generically wicked, have the ability to function as chameleons and to manifest as whatever they like and to pit whatever groups against another. And for example, the reality that the Yusuf al-Khattab turns out to be a guy named Adam Gadon. Okay, well, sometimes people infiltrate and masquerade as groups they want to vilify. Members of
It's a good point, Glenn, that there are lots of people who have chosen. No one is genetically evil, but many people have chosen to masquerade as part of organizations. The number of people who have successfully masqueraded themselves as fundamentalist Muslims to commit terrorist acts, particularly as suicide bombers, you can probably count on one hand, and there are hundreds of suicide bombers in operation every day. Each of the 19 boys, Muslims, that flew planes into our buildings on 9/11, they left video testimony, video diaries of why they were going to do what they did, giving praise to Allah, reading from the Quran, citing hadith passages. They had spent much of their youth in mosques where the imam told them that it was their duty as a Muslim to kill in Allah's cause. And so the number of people who have masqueraded as Muslims to kill in the name of Islam and to die killing in the name of Islam is fairly inconsequential. However, there are lots of people who are lying on behalf of Islam, like the President of the United States, which are aiding them.